Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It is exciting, and I'm sure we'll highlight it a little more Thursday, but I mean, even to look at widening Berry Hill Road, it's simple. Like, a lot of times the good stuff doesn't get the attention, but widening Berry Hill Road is tremendous.
That is a huge deal. Berry Hill Road is going to get widening. That's Sam Parker, commissioner in Santa Rosa County. Woodbine Road construction is supposed to start on Monday.
We're excited. People will start seeing, Brad, it's next week, right, that they'll actually start seeing construction crews on the ground. So it has been a huge haul. It's taken 7 years to get here, but we will finally have construction crews on the ground next week for Woodbine Road. And like I said, it's been years in the making.
And in Escambia County, Chemstrand is undergoing some significant changes. There's actually some lane closures on Ensley right close to there now, I think it's supposed to be happening.
Joy Blackman, Joy, can you just kind of give me a little bit of an update on the Chemstrand Road drainage project real quick? We had some phone calls.
I drove through there yesterday, and it's making progress. It's one lane for the southern end of it before you hit Johnson.
Yeah. And we're finally working. It's been a long time coming. So thanks, Wes, for his leadership in making it happen.
And there's a bunch of flags. There's a bunch of little flags on the side of the road, utilities flagged, I guess.
Yeah. People have been waiting. It's been a long week.
It is, and there's a lot going on there, drainage and water and sewer work being done. They're upgrading the lines that are there, so ECUA is working with us.
Yeah, that's the first voice you heard there was Lumen May, Commissioner Lumen May, District 3, then Stephen Berry, District 5, and then Joy Blackman, the county engineer, talking about that project, which, God, that road is, if you don't know that road, all I can tell you is you take your life in your hands every time you drive on it, because it's just too narrow, and it's very, you feel like, man, and at night especially, because it's very poorly lit and there's not good, divider markers or anything, you just kind of like, man, I just hope I don't get into a wreck here. And so there's all kinds of stuff going on Chemstrand Road, and that's good news for mobility in the county. But be aware that that's going to mean, inconvenience in the short term. Hello, Highway 98 people. Have you heard about this? The short term, it always gets worse before it gets better. Speaking of it getting worse before it gets better, I-10 and US 29. You remember, this is $250 million project to completely redesign that interchange, which the main features that you want to know about are that the east-west lanes will now go straight across the middle instead of bubbling out north and south like they do right now. That's why all the trees have been getting cut down. But starting on Monday, this coming Monday, from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., so overnight hours is when this is supposed to happen, there are going to be lane closures, alternating lane closures on I-10 near US 29. And just speaking from experience here, that sometimes the lane closures sort of interfere with regular hours. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying it's prudent to be prepared for this possibility. And since we all know that on a general basis, I-10 never has any traffic problems at all. I'm just good one, sir. I'm just saying, be prepared, okay? Be prepared that, well, so this is the beginning of like a 6-year project, right? This project is not going to be done until 2030. Yeah, so, I'll just put it that way. Jimmy and I were talking in the break, and he's like, $236 million for what? I'm like, well, to make it safer? He's like, for what? And I said, yeah, I guess we could just bought a new base center. Can we talk to FDOT maybe about, different priorities? No, anyway, so it's a good project. It's just expensive and takes a lot of time. Oh, speaking of projects that are going to take a lot of time and a lot of money, the Alabama, you heard about the bridge, okay? They've bought the Foley Beach Express Bridge. That means that the tolls will go away. It's kind of funny because my wife and I have been biking over in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach over the last, 6 months, a year, something like that. And we've been deliberately going in a way that avoids the toll. We're like, oh, just in time for us, thanks. When we don't need it anymore. No, but that's good. I like, roads that don't have a toll on them. Meanwhile, the I-10, tollway that they're going to replace the I-10 Bayway with, that price tag has gone up. Not a surprise. So this is a project that, you know, remember, this is going to be a toll either direction going from Spanish Fort over to Mobile, right? That's, you're going to pay a toll to drive on that bridge, which you do not have to pay a toll on now. It's crazy. But the price tag has now gone up from what it used to be, which was relatively cheap. I mean, you know, not that big of a deal at $2.8 billion. Joke. It's now $3.5 billion. But I'm sure they're going to keep the toll cheap. I'm sure they wouldn't change that on us. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are looking pretty clear in Pensacola. If you are coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you shouldn't expect any delays. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. And if you are on Highway 98, east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smoothly. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. If you do see anything we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Thinking about a side hustle? Why not turn your hobby into a home-based business with a home embroidery machine from Daryl's of Pensacola? Daryl's Sewing has many embroidery machines to choose from, and they have single-needle or multi-needle machines, plus plenty of thread and supplies. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com. The folks at Daryl's say, when you buy from us, you get from us. That's sewinginpensacola.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, check out Cinemas in the Sand at the Gulfside Pavilion. Bring your beach chairs and enjoy Jumanji, beginning at sunset. It's a free event presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Gallery night in downtown Pensacola is Friday night from Garden to Main. This month, highlighting Earth Day. GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for math. Yes, you may not have realized it, but mathematics in America is fundamentally racist, a lesson we have learned through the excellent work of the Education Trust West, supported in part by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. One of the key liberation tools is a curriculum entitled A Pathway to Equitable Math Instruction, Dismantling Racism in Mathematics Instruction. As the document explains, quote, "The framework for deconstructing racism in mathematics offers essential characteristics of anti-racist math educators and critical approaches to dismantling white supremacy in math classrooms by visualizing the toxic characteristics of white supremacy culture with respect to math." Hallelujah, dear Utherin. This vital tool lays bare the implicit bias of having children focus on things like getting the right answers to math problems, which is a feature of perfectionism and either-or thinking, both key elements of white thought. Instead, children of color should be taught that approximately right answers are actually quite an achievement. Close counts in horseshoes, nuclear war, and now trigonometry. The notion of teachers being right and students being wrong reinforces the master-slave mindset that keeps children of color down in the whiteocracy. The very idea of grading math tests on the basis of mistakes made rather than concepts grasped is also very white, on top of the white supremacist notion that it's appropriate for a teacher to even grade a student at all, rather than to collaborate with them in a cooperative learning endeavor that values the communitarian whole rather than the isolated individual, another white supremacy paradigm. Now, obviously, you see the racism embedded in requiring students to show their work, as if they can't be trusted to have arrived at the conclusions in their own way, honestly. It's like stop and frisk in the classroom. And just notice how it reinforces the power hoarding of white supremacy culture to require students to raise their hands before speaking. Just the kind of cultural domination tactic used by every racist in history. So in sum, or total, or a collaboratively arrived at consensus estimate produced by supportive co-equal participants, to rescue American math instruction from its implicit racism, we need to get rid of the idea of right and wrong answers, reward approximate correctness, allow students to be on par with teachers, not demand that they show their work, and especially not in class or with time constraints, and realize that when students fail to meet our expectations, that just means our expectations were defective, unfair, biased, or bigoted, rather than that the students were at fault. One additional note. If we're sincere about making math less racist, we really must do something about the tools we use. White paper? Really? No! If we can make blackboards with white chalk, surely we can make black paper with white pencils. After all, how can a child of color expect to learn anything in an environment so saturated in the whiteness of the dominant race? In the end, what could be more valuable for fostering excellence in math by black and brown children than letting them do math on a piece of paper that looks like they do? Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, the National Basketball Association, which this week was revealed to be abysmally sexist due to the pay discrepancy between its players and the female players of the WNBA, which is 50% owned by the NBA. Case in point, college superstar Caitlin Clark, who is perhaps single-handedly responsible for the largest viewing audience in history for a women's NCAA final at 18 million viewers, 4 million more than the 14 million who watched the men's final this year, by the way. Despite this massive surge in audience, when Caitlin Clark was drafted as the number one overall pick in the WNBA, she entered a contract which only pays her $76,000 in her first year. By contrast, last year's first pick in the NBA draft, Victor Wembanyama, earned $12 million in his rookie season. This pay discrepancy puts the gender wage gap on display front and center in neon lights so bright that even the most repressive misogynist can't defend it. Although, and we hate to have to admit this, but if you do some math, there are unpleasant things to be learned. The NBA's gross annual revenue is around $10 billion, whereas the WNBA's gross annual revenue is about $60 million. And it doesn't turn a profit, which is why the NBA subsidizes it with $15 million a year of its own money. But if you divide $60 million into $10 billion, the NBA takes in about 167 times as much money as the WNBA. And when you divide Clark's $76,000 into Wembanyama's $12 million, he made only 158 times as much as she will. Speaking in a strictly mathematical sense, Caitlin Clark is being overpaid. Moreover, Clark already made $3 million last year from the name, image, and likeness rights, and she's already reportedly inked an eight-figure deal with Nike for next year, meaning that her $76,000 salary is so irrelevant that it won't even pay a month of her income tax on endorsement deals. Now, obviously, we don't talk about things like this because we know that truth is not what math reveals from numbers. Truth is what we feel about superficial facts that we do not investigate. Besides, we assume that most of the people in our faith are not good at math, so we don't really need to worry that they're ever going to figure this out. They literally can't figure things out. And so much the worse, or so much the better for our cause. As Dayton's seminal treatise on social justice warfare, Volume 5, 4th edition, instructs us, when you have facts and reason, use facts and reason. When you do not have facts and reason, use emotion and yell. Being loud and angry will always persuade more people than being rational and logical. The only way to defeat the patriarchy is to use emotion and manipulation. So keep cherry-picking numbers that distract people from the truth. Keep talking about the grave injustice being done against women in all endeavors. And keep working to make men feel guilty any way you can, especially if the facts are not on your side. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our most vehement admiration for the Irish Green Party, and especially Senator Pauline O'Reilly, for all her hard work on the Incitement to Violence or Hatred and Hate Offenses Criminal Justice Bill, which would make it a crime for anyone to contribute toward making another person feel unsafe, disliked, judged, or hated for their race, color, nationality, religion, ethnic origin, gender, sex, sexual orientation, or disability.
Your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
Yes! This is the heart of cancel culture. People who make others feel unsafe must be made to feel unsafe. That's the only way we can ever get to a more inclusive society, through government coercion. Now, what makes this particular bill so wonderful is that you can be convicted for saying or writing anything mean about a person in a protected category, but you can also be convicted for possessing mean speech or for simply intending to say or write anything mean. In fact, if you're suspected of intending to commit hate speech, the government can actually force you to unlock your phone and let them search for offensive content such as mean memes that would send you to jail. In other words, this bill creates a whole list of hate speech crime, hate speech thought crime, and even hate speech thought pre-crime. It's as if all the best ideas from 1984, Brave New World, and the Minority Report were being blended together in one giant blessed bundle of government virtue enforcement. The Irish have really figured out how to be faithful to our religion of inclusion for everyone we deem worthy of inclusion. And it's all possible because, unlike here in the meanocracy of the United States of America, where people are still allowed to say hurtful things because of that pesky First Amendment, Ireland has no such protection. As a result, it could very soon be illegal to even think seriously about saying hurtful things to other Irishmen under penalty of law.
This fundamentally comes down to only one thing. It is about, can we move forward towards a kinder society? And can we, within the fairly blunt instrument of legislation, do that in this chamber? And I believe we can, and I believe that this is an excellent step in that direction.
Yes. There is nothing quite as beautiful as forcing people to be nice because they're staring down the barrel of a government gun. The decadent rock and roll band Cheap Trick could only sing about the Dream Police, but Ireland is really on the verge of empowering the Meme Police. So exciting. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Bumpin' Rind. All-natural, refreshing flavor additives made entirely from the peels of oranges, lemons, and limes discarded by restaurants and bars. Try the delicious lime rind salsa on your next batch of cruelty-free albacore or the pucker-tastic sugar-free orange rind compote on an imitation meat veggie burger. You'll be surprised at how long you can taste it afterwards. Remember, it's not dumpster diving if they give it to you in a box. Bumpin' Rind, because when you eat what other people would compost, you can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 on News Radio 92.3. Jimmy, time for a little traffic for him.
We are looking all good in Pensacola this morning. I-10 and I-110 not showing any slowdowns. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre on Highway 98, you are clear into Pensacola. And if you're coming in from Pace or Milton on Highway 90, you should be not expecting any delays. If you do see anything on the road that we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Somebody texted me and says on the math part, amen from a fourth grade math teacher. And I said back, as you know, I literally made none of that up except for the black paper. The rest of it is literally what they're... Anyway, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Google CEO Sundar Pichai is speaking out after employees were arrested for staging a protest against their ties with Israel, and 28 people were fired in connection with that protest. Pichai says while Google encourages vibrant and open discussion, the company has clear expectations and policies. Thousands of employees at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, are wrapping up voting today for unionization. Governor Bill Lee there has joined governors from five other states in opposing that union. And Netflix announcing it's going to stop reporting its quarterly subscriber counts. They say that membership is just one component of their growth. They're going to focus on revenue and operating margin as their indicators of performance.
So in one way, that makes sense. But in another way, it's kind of like, well, the numbers that we've been telling you about don't look good for us, so we're just going to not tell you those things anymore.
Yeah, it kind of smells like that, doesn't it?
But look, in the end, if they are reporting profits, I suppose that's the thing that an investor really wants to know about.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Israeli military has now responded to the drone and missile strikes launched by Iran last weekend.
Israel has, in fact, responded with this very specific and targeted strike inside the central region of Isfahan, close to the Natanz nuclear facility. No nuclear sites were hit. The strike appeared to target a nearby Iranian airbase.
Fox's Jeff Paul in Tel Aviv, Israel. Police in New York City say they've arrested more than 100 pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia University.
Protesters took over a campus lawn for more than 30 hours, camping out in tents, forming human chains, demanding the university divest itself from companies with ties to Israel, what they view as the university's, quote, complicity in genocide in Gaza.
Fox's Chanley Painter in New York. A jury of 12 is seated for former President Trump's criminal trial in New York. There are five alternates left to be selected. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 70 and partly cloudy in Pensacola. Well, there's some questions being asked about homework assignments for students in the Escambia School District. At a recent school board meeting, a concerned parent addressed the board, asking why her child was given a homework assignment about a non-binary gamer with a disability.
The parents should educate the children about transgender and non-binary, not the school board.
That's Brenda Leggett, and she says that assignment violated their family's religious beliefs. School District Superintendent Keith Leonard tells Channel 3 the district is currently investigating, and he says that the matter will be handled. Well, it's big news in southern Alabama. Today, the Orange Beach Express will become toll-free. The state announced yesterday they're purchasing the Foley Beach Express Bridge for $60 million. The last day of tolls is expected to be the Friday before Memorial Day. In a statement, Governor Kay Ivey says Alabama's Gulf Coast continues to experience record growth and success. She says she's proud that they're making the needed infrastructure improvements in the area to help ease traffic congestion for those visiting the beach. A bill establishing a statewide school chaplain program has become law.
You know, you got a lot of these problems that kids go through. You know, that there's some students where, you know, they need some soul craft. And that can make all the difference in the world. And so these chaplains will be able to come and provide services.
Governor Ron DeSantis says that program is voluntary but would require parental consent. He also signed another bill allowing groups like Big Brothers Big Sisters, the Civil Air Patrol, and Future Farmers of America to go on campus to make a pitch for students to join up. Congressman Matt Gaetz calling out what he's calling a deliberate cover-up by the State Department over the condition that roughly 1,100 U.S. troops in the African country of Niger are finding themselves in.
Our troops in Niger have been pleading for help. They've sent intelligence reports and letters stating that they are rarely getting safe water. They can't get diplomatic oversights to receive medicine, fresh troop rotations, or basic supplies.
Gaetz alleges that the U.S. Embassy is blocking intelligence reports. Gaetz says troops in the country have no mission and local authorities have become increasingly hostile. Well, a bill banning people from getting too close to first responders was signed last week by Governor Ron DeSantis, and Pensacola Police Department's Mike Wood is responding to that. He says it's going to be a good thing for police officers.
We need room to do our job. So does the fire department. So does EMS. Because there's life-saving things going on at that point in time, and taking our attention away from the patient or the suspect could cause problems for us and them both. So we're glad to see that from 14 to 25. We're just glad to have the law there. The governor's been very, very good to first responders, and we appreciate that that being signed.
That law creates a 25-foot buffer zone around first responders. People will be given a verbal warning before they're arrested for violating the law. It was signed last Friday, and people are still allowed to record from outside of the 25-foot buffer zone. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Jimmy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
We are looking all good. If you're coming into Pensacola from Gulf Beach Highway, you are good to go. Gulf Breeze and Navarre not showing any slowdowns. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good, and Highway 90 from Pace and Milton, you are clear all the way to Pensacola. If you see anything else on our traffic tip line, please call us at 437-1620. I am Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
And right now it's 70 in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices have jumped more than 3% after Israel carried out a retaliatory strike on Iran earlier this morning, triggering fears of an expanding war in the Middle East. The total extent of damage caused is still being assessed. However, oil prices have since calmed back down. The global benchmark Brent traded 77 cents lower at $86.34 a barrel after surpassing $90 earlier this morning, while the U.S. West Texas Intermediate lowered 70 cents to $82.03 a barrel. Sheetz has been hit with a lawsuit by federal officials that alleges the company discriminated against minority job applicants. The suit says the convenience store chain discriminated against Black, Native American, and multiracial job seekers by automatically claiming they failed a criminal background check. The company has denied any allegations. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 22. That's your money now.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
News Radio Pensacola.
Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and if you've been thinking about that next vehicle, or, you know, putting off thinking about that next vehicle, which I know I do, okay, because nobody likes to buy cars, and, you know, but getting a new one is inconvenient, and you got to think about things, just time and all that stuff. Okay, my experience at Frontier Motors was so good, best car buying experience of my life, that I say, you know, if you're in that place and you're putting it off, just go. You know you need to. You're probably putting more money into this car than a newer used car would cost you. And the inconvenience, the uncertainty, you know, especially if it's a car that you get and you're like, I hope it works today. No, go to Frontier. 300 different cars, trucks, vans on the lot, different makes and models, and, you know, a couple years old, a year old, low miles, great condition, good prices. That's what they specialize in. And they just, I mean, they really just take care of you because they're serving the community. Frontier Motors, serving this Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Watched something yesterday and today that it's about a month old. And you know me, I don't really... The general rule for my line of work is that if it's more than 2 days old, don't talk about it. Well, I don't really care. If I think it's interesting, I don't care how old it is. I'm going to talk about it. I've actually got some things on my list to get to with you and when I get the time that are, you know, a couple weeks to a month old that I think are really interesting. This is one of them. Stephen Colbert. My mistake. Stephen Colbert had former Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer on his show and was talking with him about just a variety of things. And this was one of the things. And it was really, really interesting interview, not because he disclosed a bunch of stuff, but because of what he didn't say.
Last time you and I were talking, I learned from previous experience with you not to ask you about specific cases, so I will not do that. But I might ask about general ideas, okay? For instance, let me ask you just one general idea not pertaining to a particular case. Do you, former Justice Breyer, believe that former presidents have absolute immunity from prosecution for crimes committed while in office?
Okay, you get that that's asking him about a very immediate, very specific case involving a very particular president, right? But this is why it's funny, okay? But listen to the answer.
Does that seem like a natural yes from you?
That seems like a general idea.
It is. That is a general idea. Do former presidents have absolute immunity? It's not specific about one person. Would any president have that? I'm just curious what you... Snap judgment. Don't think about it. Go.
I agree that you have a general idea. I can't go farther.
You're
I can't because of the...
No fun.
See, I like Stephen Breyer. Stephen Breyer was one of the liberals on the court, replaced by Ketanji Brown Jackson, right? But a great person, a very thoughtful person, very clever. I mean, he's a Supreme Court justice, for goodness sakes, okay? The kind of person you can make a civilization with, even if you disagree about a lot of things. And I love the fact that you have a former Supreme Court justice given the opportunity to weigh in on a pending Supreme Court case. He can say whatever he wants. He's not obligated anymore. He's not going to have to recuse himself. He teaches law at Harvard, okay? He can say anything he wants. You know what he says? Nothing. You know why? Because he respects the institution, and he doesn't want to be seen as meddling. He knows he'd be the first quote leading the newspapers the next day. Former justice says blah, blah, blah about this case. And he just won't take the bait. I mean, you talk about admiring somebody for what they won't say, for their restraint.
I'll ask you something that I think you can answer is like, what do you think the purpose of the insurrection clause was?
I haven't looked at, well.
Which is, of course, another like, right now kind of case, or was at the time, okay?
It's in the Constitution. It's an excellent little read.
It is.
It's only the 14th Amendment. Tell me you read that far. Okay.
And here he got his pocket Constitution out of his suitcase.
All right. Someone's got a Constitution all the time. All right. All right. So, but anyway, you know this document. I'm just curious, why does it include no definition of what insurrection is? Do you have any idea? Because it does say how someone could be reinstated, and it says that someone who committed insurrection can't run for office. Why does it need an actuating law or action by Congress to impose the sanction for insurrection? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm tempted to say something like, but I wasn't there when it was written. My grandchildren think I was, but in fact, I wasn't. And really what I'm doing is avoiding the question.
Okay.
And the reason
you can ask, son. I'm not going to say. So maybe ask me something else.
Is the fear that the public has of political influence in the court valid? And is the court's fear that the public will no longer believe they're impartial valid?
I think that that is a very good question for a particular reason. That's why I wrote this book.
Okay.
It is, because I wanted to show people that what most think, that this is all politics, that is not my experience. You never say zero about anything. Mm-hmm. But when I've been for 40 years with other judges and 28 on the Supreme Court, I think the people who try to get them appointed may have a lot to do with politics, but they want a judge who will think that the law really requires those things that then they politically like. But the judge's point of view is he or she is deciding according to law. And that's why I write this, because I want to say it isn't a question of what the judge just likes or doesn't like. It isn't a question of just politics. It is a question of what approach you use. You say, do you just read text? Or do you look back to the values and purposes and consequences of the Constitution or what we're about in this country? Which of those do you choose? And I think that's important and does make a difference.
I could not agree more. The way I get very frustrated with coverage of the Supreme Court. There's one resource out there, SCOTUS blog by Amy Howe, that is phenomenal. And I can't recommend anything else out there. Because most of the reporting on the Supreme Court is sort of like the reporting on Catholicism or religion in general. The reporters themselves are not religious. They don't like religion, many of them. They don't believe in it. They don't really understand it, and certainly not, they don't have any affection for it. So they get it wrong all the time. That's why if you want to read about Catholicism news, go to the National Catholic Register. Durr. You know, go to a source that's actually, you know, represents the viewpoint. Don't go to AP or NBC or, God, even Fox News. Because they don't know. Okay? And when it comes to reporting on the Supreme Court, it's somewhat the same problem. The reporting is often, well, the liberals said this and the conservatives said this. And I know I sometimes use that shorthand too, but having read many Supreme Court opinions and having listened to many, many oral arguments for the Supreme Court, I'm just telling you that they're not partisans. They are diligently trying to figure out what the law says about this particular case and to do right by the Constitution. They might do it in different ways, but they are really trying to do that. And that's why I really despise the typical reporting, which says things like, well, so-and-so was appointed by Trump or so-and-so was appointed by, you know, Clinton or Obama. Or you make it sound like they're just substitute partisan hacks, and they're not. And it undermines the credibility of the court and the faith of the American people in these judges when you do it that way, when you report on it that way. Stephen Breyer is right. Most of these justices are really trying to do right based on how they understand the law from a paradigm about the law, but not from a paradigm about what they want as an outcome about abortion or education or about water rights or anything else. He's exactly right. And the people who don't think that don't know much about the court, in my experience, and haven't taken the time. And I'm no expert. I mean, by layman's terms, I know a lot more than most people, but I'm not an expert about the court. But I know enough to know that that allegation is false. 648 on News Radio 92.3, Jake's got traffic for us. Jake?
This is Jimmy. And
dang it.
This traffic report is brought to you by True Green.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. If you're on I-10 East around mile marker 21, there is a smoking disabled vehicle pulled off to the shoulder. Please drive with caution through there. Otherwise, we are just seeing that morning traffic really building up in downtown Pensacola from every direction, so drive with caution there. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays, and no delays on Burgess or Olive. If you do see something on the road that we should be reporting, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. If you want a great-looking lawn, contact True Green today. All you have to do is water and mow. Sign up by April 20th to get one application free with an annual plan. Restrictions apply. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Stephen Breyer. Just because sometimes I feel like my job is to kind of remind you that there are some really fantastic people doing things in this country, in this county, in this state, in this city. And just, you know, we get a lot of the negative, right, about their incompetence. There's an awful lot of competence out there. And this is a case in point. That's why I wanted to talk to you about it. Stephen Breyer talking about whether, you know, the sort of the views of the current age or time or politics affect what the court does.
Suppose that you, not you, it wouldn't be you personally, but that you were an unpopular person. Impossible. But suppose
can't be
you
done,
were,
but go ahead, yes.
But an unpopular person is in front of a judge for a trial.
Yes.
You don't want that judge to be influenced by how the public feels about that person. Mm-hmm. You don't want a judge to be influenced by popular opinion when he's judging a case. But what Professor Freund said, great professor at Harvard Law School, a great professor, and he said the way that politics works in the court is this. No judge, not you or me or anyone else, should ever be influenced by the political temperature of the day. But every judge will and probably should be influenced by the climate of the era. A little profound, a little obscure, but the more you think about that phrase, the more it sort of rings a bell in my mind.
Doesn't seem obscure at all. I mean, especially since we know that climate change is real.
Now that, you know, I don't know that I agree with him about that, but don't you want people on the court who are having thoughts like that and who are considering, you know, the great significance of what they do and nuanced concepts? And this is my last one for you, okay? But he was talking about how the FDR court changed so much, right? And basically got threatened into changing a lot of things or allowing a lot of things that Congress and the president wanted to do. But I want you to listen to the end of this, because it's the end that really, to me, is the, man, I love it when we have good people, even good people I disagree with, but good people, you know, and this is one of the, like, you know, what, top 20 or 30 legal minds in the country, okay? And just listen to this.
Back into the past for a second, and you will know, and probably most of the people who are listening will know, that there was a big change in the court at the time of the New Deal. Those cases which were there that said that Congress could not legislate a minimum wage or a maximum hour, those cases were gone. And instead, we were living not in prosperity, we were living in depression. And the court had to change to allow the Congress to pass more laws that they hoped, Roosevelt hoped, would get us out of the depression. That was a change in a lot of the ways they looked at the words in the Constitution. Before that, that word property had a lot of weight. After that, control through agencies, control by Congress, had much more weight. That's a big change.
There's now, a lot of pressure to change that back right
that's
now.
That's right. And so I end the book with that question. And you know what my answer is? Oh, you're not going to like this.
What?
My answer is, I don't know. And I don't, and there are reasons, and no one knows.
He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what's the right thing to happen. And nobody does. Just that sense of humility. Again, somebody who was on the Supreme Court for decades, somebody who is one of the top legal minds in the entire country and has enough humility about his own knowledge of things, how they are going to go or how they should go, who says, I'm not sure. Right? Anyway, I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was such a beautiful illustration of the kind of people that we really do have working on behalf of the people and the Constitution, and, you know, it was kind of a unique slice into the perspective of somebody who also would be restrained. You know, that restraint is actually kind of a healthy thing. I love it. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from PinAir Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from PinAir is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a PinAir home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at PinAir.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Pensacola Habitat for Humanity invites all executives and business leaders to join Executive Build 2024. Be a part of a unique construction build site experience while empowering your business and investing in our local community. This is your chance to show compassion and support within your community or organization. Roll up your sleeves with other Escambia and Santa Rosa County leaders for Pensacola Habitat for Humanity Executive Build on April 26th. Reserve your spot. See PensacolaHabitat.org/ExecBuild for more information.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la, it's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage, playing classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies, all in their own style. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Run! It's Godzilla!
I love it when I can make Jimmy laugh with the clip. Catch him off guard, because that means some of you are laughing too. That was actually one of the hardest things to adapt to, going from being a teacher in the classroom to doing radio, is not being able to see people's reactions. And just, I don't know, I hope it lands, you know? Yeah. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic on the 5. Jimmy?
We are seeing a lot of that morning traffic coming in, especially on I-110 southbound, heading into downtown area, so be cautious of that. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you are clear all the way into Pensacola. I-10 looking good, and if you are heading in from Pace or Milton, again, just seeing some of that morning slowdown. If you see anything else on the road that we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Louisiana state legislature is considering a bill that would require schools to teach gun safety in the state. State law already allows schools to provide gun safety courses and accident prevention courses if they want to, but few school districts in Louisiana are doing so. Senator Blake Magez says it's time to make that mandatory in Louisiana. He says if that passes, the curriculum won't get into political questions, but would teach safety and accident prevention. The U.S. sending dozens of people back to Haiti on a deportation flight. A spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security says about 50 Haitian nationals were sent back on Thursday. He says they were removed only if they were found not to have a legal basis to stay in the U.S. And apparently the city of Everett, Washington, is allowing bikini baristas to don their bikinis again.
As in they were going naked?
Well, no, they were being required to cover up more.
Okay. Yeah. So, but the way you said it made it seem like, you know, By law, you're going to have to be naked, young lady.
No.
Thank God we could put our bikinis back on. You know, I just want to make sure I understand the story
apparently
correctly.
There had been 5 years ago an ordinance that required bikini baristas to cover up a little bit more. And so I don't know. They're probably going to be looking into me here because I did a search on the bikini barista thing to get more context to the news story.
Just a good, normal, clean work search is all that is.
Oh, my goodness. But
by the way, you know what they always ask you at the bikini barista drive-thru?
What's that?
Would you like pasty with your coffee?
You know, what I didn't know was apparently in Everett, Washington, there's actually like 8 bikini barista places. I didn't know this was such a big thing there.
There's no recovering from all this, you know, David.
No.
All people took away from this is that David was doing research on bikini baristas.
Now he's on a company list.
And now, and now HR is going to have a conversation.
I'm just glad it's Friday.
What kind of pastry would you like with that? Pastry. Sorry, I just misspoke. will we have chaplains in schools? We need them in News Radio, too. In Escambia and Santa Rosa County?
Yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
We will.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.